The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So I want to officially get started on this thing. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scaprell, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, we are going to finish our fourth message of our Revelation chapter 13 series. And today, we're going to be homing in on the mark of the beast. This is the message that a lot of people has been looking forward to and anticipating. So again, that's where we're going to go today. So of course, we do have scriptures with this as well. So if you want to go ahead and turn there again, Revelation chapter 13 is where we're going to be hanging out. Revelation chapter 13, howbeit right around in verse 11. So while you're turning there, again, we welcome our podcast audience. We welcome our YouTubers, and we welcome you guys again on Facebook. And if you guys are, I know people will be hopping in different times here on Facebook Live. This will be, we'll keep this up here on Facebook. It'll be on our YouTube channel, and it'll be on our podcast channel as well. So again, today, Revelation 13, we're going to be dealing with the mark of the beast. I believe we're seeing precursors that is advancing this system that we're going to be dealing with in Revelation 13. And I'm going to pull up a scripture here. I pulled up these verses here specifically for a reason. The reason why I've got two translations pulled up here, because I want to show you something that's very important. And this proves why translations do matter. Again, this proves why translations do matter. Look, check this out. So I'm going to read this from the New King James, and then I'll read it from the King James. All right, this is the NKJV, which I use all the time. I enjoy the New King James Version. Really don't see much wrong with it, but there is times like this one that wording is everything, and that's what I want to show you here. Revelation 13, 16 through 18, New King James, and then we'll read it from the King James. He causes all, both small and great, and that's the false prophet. This is the second beast. In fact, you know what? Why don't we go ahead and read this from 11, and we'll read this from 11, and then we'll come back up, because I gotta pull this stuff out here, okay? Revelation 13, 11. And then I saw another beast. This is, again, dealing with the false prophet. This is not the Antichrist. That's very important when we get in this. That's why I wanted to back up for a second. Revelation 13, 11. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Again, we identified him as the false prophet and our number two a message of this series. He, still speaking of the false prophet, exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence. He causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He, again, false prophet, performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs of which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast whose wound who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now, we dealt with the image of the beast in our third message. So again, I want to encourage you, if you've not watched these, go on our YouTube channel. Go on our, you can see them here on our Facebook page up in the videos. We talked about the image of the beast, and it was the false prophet who commanded the people. The people, when you read that in Revelation 13, 14, it's interesting. It says the people, he commands the people to make the image, but nevertheless, they create this image. But it's the false prophet who was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that it may speak and live, and causes many that it would not to worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, that brings us to where I want to go today. And that's, again, we're going to get into the mark of the beast. All right. So again, I want to pull up this scripture, this so you can follow along with me. This is Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James, but we're also going to read from the King James. He, still speaking of the false prophet, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark. Now, your New King James says on their right hand or on their foreheads. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Again, Revelation 13, 16 through 18, New King James Version. Now I want to read this same exact passage from the King James. Here it is. Ready? And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Did you guys see that? The New King James says on, the King James says in. Now, in case you didn't know, the 1611 King James translation, other than the original Hebrew and Greek, is one of the oldest manuscripts or the oldest translations out there. So I'm going to go with the King James translation over the translation of the New King James. And again, on and in is extremely important here. This is, you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, that's a huge deal. Because if look at my, when, if you say on the hand or on the forehead, that can be on the surface. Okay, this is huge when we get into this thing. That can be on the surface of this. But when you change the wording here to in, it changes the whole dynamic of something. Then it becomes in the right hand. It means it has to go in it or in the forehead, not on it. On is surface, in is in it. There's two, it's two different terms here. But let me read the rest of this. And that no man, again, this is King James, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13, 16 through 18, King James Version or translation. So here's what we've, this is what we do know here. All right. This is what we can conclude from Revelation 13, 16 through 18. I want to wait till this pulls it up on the screen because I want to go over this with you. Revelation, again, 13 through 16 through 18. These are facts about the mark of the beast. Number one, we know that the second beast has been identified as the false prophet, and we know that he, the false prophet, is the one who will issue the mark of the beast, not the Antichrist. That's important to understand that. Number two, it is the false prophet who causes all. Somebody say all. Look what it says. Small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave. That's all. To receive whatever this mark of the beast is, the entire population of the world will be required to take this mark. So don't miss that. This is not just the Jews or just the Arabs or just the Hindus or just the Christians or just this particular ethnicity or particular political status of a group or, you know, whatever the case. Now, all small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave will take this mark, and they will be required to take this mark. So this will be a universal mark. It will not be just one country doing it or one group of people or one company that's doing it. It'll be universal. All right. Number three, fact. Without this mark, whatever this is, you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade without yielding or submitting to this system. I say system, and here's why. I believe with all my heart it is a religious system, and I say that because it's the Antichrist who is issuing this thing, not the Antichrist. I said that twice, didn't I? The false prophet. I'm sorry, let me correct myself. It's the false prophet who is issuing the mark of the beast, not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is, this man is a man of war. He's a military leader. The false prophet, on the other hand, he is the one who is organizing people under the name of religion. Remember, he's going to be able to cast fire down from heaven. He's going to be able to perform lying signs and wonders. He commands the people to create an image to the beast that they may worship this image. And then he's also the one that implements the mark of the beast. So I believe with all my heart, and I believe there's other scholars that would agree with me, that the mark of the beast is going to be affiliated with whatever the religion is of the Antichrist. And so this is a system. Again, we identify this as a system because because without this system, you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. So it's going to be some type of financial system. There's going to be your identity is going to be connected to this. Your financial status is going to be connected to this. It's almost going to be like a social security identification, a digital footprint, if you would, of some sort that's going to be connected to this. Whereas it's going to register, it's going to keep all your information in this. Because and let me read the fourth one and we'll elaborate a little bit more on this. Number four, this system of the beast. Now, where am I getting this at? This is verse 15, Revelation 13, 15. I'm sorry, Revelation 13, 17. This system will either be the mark, the name, or the number of the beast. Let me say that again. Let me just read it, Revelation 13, 17. This mark of the beast will be required to be put in the right hand, not the left. That's also, I should have put that on there too, and I didn't. Not the left hand, to you it'd be over here, but not the left hand, but it's going to go in, somebody say in the right hand or the forehead. And it says, verse 17, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the beast. All right, so there's three different methods here, not just, and see, this is the problem with many people who has tried to interpret this scripture. They take one thing out of it. And most of the time, it's the number 666. So they focus all on 666 when it says the name, the mark, or the number. So it's not just going to be homed in on just the number. All right, so you guys got to see this as we go on here. All right, so those are some facts about this. Now, the word mark, and no man might buy or sell or save. He had the mark. In Greek, this word karagma in Greek it's kind of got a threefold meaning. It means a stamp, an imprinted mark of the mark stamped on the forehead or the right hand as the badge of the followers of the Antichrist, or quote, the mark branded upon horses. That's very interesting. So it also, one of the primary meanings of this is a mark similar to what is branded upon horses. So I don't know if you've ever seen that, but they take They take a branding iron. They get extremely hot. You could take it and get it really hot to the point where the metal is glowing red. And then they burn it upon cattle or horses or some type of livestock because it marks them. It identifies them with a particular mark based upon who the farmer or based upon the brand or whatever. They're branded. They're branded with this mark upon their skin, and it's upon them. So this is just kind of an imagery here of the word mark. So over the years, guys, there's been many speculation of what is the mark of the beast. And I mean, I've been doing this thing for 20 years, and I've seen, and I've had to go back, you know, even before I became acquainted with the Lord and gave my heart to the Lord. And there's been many, many speculations on what the mark of the beast is. One of them was the barcode that you see here. I remember when this thing came out, the generation of believers that was around then, that many of them were, you know, they began to scream, this is the mark of the beast. This is the system of the mark of the beast. It's here, it's here, it's here. So the very first scanning of this, what we know now as the Universal Product Code or the UPC code, that's what you're looking at on your screen here, was on a pack of Wrigley Company chewing gum in 1974. Pretty interesting. At a Mars supermarket in Troy, Ohio, the developer of the UPC code, George J. Laurier, has had to make a public statement. Listen to this. He had to make a public statement addressing the accusation that guard bars on UPC are a code. He had to come out and tell everybody this is not the mark of the beast. So how interesting is that? That again, back in 1974, when all this was instituted, there was such a, and we think just because we have social media now, well, back then they had newspapers and they had media outlets, and the churches were much more vocal back then than they are now. I think on a larger scale, and there was a lot of chatter and fear that this was going to introduce the mark of the beast. So again, the developer of the UPC code actually had to come out and tell everybody that this was not the mark of the beast. Guard bars are bit containing patterns at the beginning, middle, and end of each UPC code, which resemble the coding for the number 6. Lawyer had responded to accusations on his website by saying, quote, there's nothing sinister about this, nor does it have anything to do with the Bible's mark of the beast. It is simply a coincidence, like the fact that my first, middle, and last name all have 6 letters. All right. So we now know, guys, that obviously that is not the mark of the beast. All right. So then I want to talk about another thing that a lot of people, you hear this a lot, especially from Sabbathers or the people who heavily teach on the Sabbath, these Sabbath teachers, the Seventh-day Adventists. Many of them, in fact, all of them, of the Seventh-day Adventists, you've heard them, they will push that the mark of the beast is, quote, Sunday worship. How many has heard that? I guarantee you there's probably some of them on here, on this live Facebook or on YouTube or on podcast. And you listen, we mean no disrespect to you guys, but again, this is what this has been taught. The Seventh-day Adventists believe that Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. And they teach this heavily, that if you go to church on a Sunday and you don't go on Saturday, then you are accepting the mark of the beast. Now, where did this come from? Well, consequently, I did a little bit of research on this. This idea stemmed from Ellen G. White, who wrote a piece called A Word to the Little Flock in page 19, paragraph 1, on April 7th, 1847. She said, quote, and this is kind of like the Watchtower with Jehovah Witnesses. They have their own literature and their own books that they hold to outside of Scripture. She wrote, quote, I saw all that would not receive the mark of the beast and of his image in their foreheads or in their hands could not buy or sell. I saw that the number 666 of the image beast was made up and that it was the beast that changed the Sabbath. Now, obviously, that's spinning their own interpretation here. And the image beast had followed on after and kept the Pope's and not God's Sabbath. So again, it ties heavily in with Catholicism and the changing of the day and all this. Ready? And all we're required to do was to give up God's Sabbath and keep the Pope's, and then we should have the mark of the beast and his image. So again, what they did, and I'm not saying it was right for what the Pope did and what the Catholic Church did, because there's a lot of error in that, but to take just that and completely run with that and say, this is the mark of the beast. That, my friends, is just as crazy as saying that the barcode is the mark of the beast. It's not. Now, let me prove that. Let me read on here. In 1898, Mrs. White also wrote, quote, John was called to behold a people distinct from those who worship the beast and his image by keeping the first day of the week. Quote, which is the observance of this day is the mark of the beast. So again, it's this twisting of something of if it's self-interpretation. And this is where listen, if I didn't make some people mad right there, hold on, because I'll make you mad by the end of this broadcast, when I'm going to make some folks really mad when we get ready to finish this thing. And I'll explain why here in a minute. Now, let me prove to you, I want to prove to you that this worshiping on Sunday is not the mark of the beast. If that didn't prove it, let me give you this verse of scripture. This is John the Revelator writing out of the book of Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. And then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying of the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. So the first went and he poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshiped the image. Again, and when I read commentaries on this passage, some of the commentaries of scholars and theologians have all said that they believe, because, and they took other scriptures where it says that these cancers will break out on people who end up worshiping the beast. And they conclude that this grievous, I believe the King James says grievous and the New King James says loathsome, but these grievous sores break out on the body where they have taken the mark of the beast. So in other words, if they took the mark of the beast in their right hand, somewhere down the line, it's possible that they begin to regret. They have regret that they have taken this mark of the beast, and they begin to try to, whatever they have put in them, they try to physically remove it out of their body, out of their hand or out of their forehead. And as a result in it, there's this grievous sore that develops. So again, number one, that proves that this is not Sunday worship. Number two, how can you insert Sunday worship into your hand? It doesn't make any sense, guys. You can't insert Sunday worship into your forehead. It's not a thinking process. It's not to do with your intellect. It's not your mind. It's not your thinking. It is a physical mark. It's a physical thing that will be inserted in your hand or your forehead. And again, Sunday worship does not dictate whether you buy, sell, or trade. Nowhere in history has anyone who worshiped on Saturday, let's say you are a Sabbath keeper, I've never seen you go anywhere, a Kroger, a Publix, a Walmart, a Target. I've never seen anyone go into any of these places and say, oh yes, I am a Saturday worshiper. I'm a Sabbath worshiper. Oh, well, then that's all you got to say. Here you go. That's all you need. Again, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit with scriptures. Okay. So I believe we can safely say that that's just, this is, it doesn't hold water, guys. So that's just not going to work. So we know it's not the barcode. We know that it's not Sunday worship. Here's another theory that has went on for years. Oh, well, brother, the mark of the beast. There was a time when people thought that credit cards were the mark of the beast. They believed, you know, well, if you get that credit card and you swipe that, you're using your hand and you're swiping your card and it's got all your information. Therefore, it's got to be the mark of the beast. And then later on, these credit cards ended up getting a chip put in them. As you can see there on your screen, there's a chip on that credit card. And now instead of swiping it, you just insert the chip. And I remember there was all this chat. Oh my gosh, Brother Ricky, that's got to be the mark of the beast, because the chip is in that card. That's the mark of the beast. Well, again, we now know that that's not the case. That was not the mark of the beast. So we can't go there with that. Then, believe it or not, there was a whole group of people back in the days of the computer era, when the computer began to launch, and the internet, and I remember the days of the World Wide Web. Believe it or not, there was a whole group of individuals that took to the internet and social media and said that if you take the Hebrew letters, the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the letter Vav, and you translate it to W, it actually translates to Vav, 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 or 666. And they say, therefore, the World Wide Web is the mark of the beast. Again, you can't put the... Guys, listen to me. You can't put the World Wide Web into your hand. You can't insert it into your right hand. You can't say, well, that's the hand you use your mouse. I'm telling you guys, there's some crazy people out there that come up with these theories. Well, it's got to be the World Wide Web because after all, we use a mouse and we click. Yeah, but I got news for you. I may use it with my right hand, but not everybody's right-handed. And again, you can't put the World Wide Web inserted into your head. All right? Even though Elon Musk wants to make us all cyborgs and insert a chip in our head, and so that we have infinite knowledge. Now, we talked about that in our last segment with the image of the beast, and I believe these are precursors. This is all preconditioning a generation to accept whatever this mark of the beast is that's coming our way. Okay, so then we had... we want to get to this. Then we had, now we're getting more to present day. Then we have the push for microchip implants. Here we go. Microchip implants. As you can see right here, I'm going to read a little bit of this. Microchip implants have been woven into the very fabric of society through keeping track of pets for some time now. Some of you got pets right now with a microchip in it. But now people are getting them inserted into their bodies, into their hands, in hopes of improving their lives. Society is quickly embracing microchip implants to unlock doors, like you can see right here in your image, in this image that you're seeing right here on your screen. They're doing this with the convenience of unlocking doors, logging into cell phones, making payments without the hassle of using cash or credit cards. Two recent examples of this came from the Wall Street Journal, who recently reported on how typical ID badges are now beginning to be replaced by, you guessed it, biometric identification systems, microchip implants, and tools that monitor workers and their typing habits. Now, Amazon came out recently. And is jumping on board with the progression of this, with the idea of convenience for shoppers to link their credit card information to their hands, allowing them to simply pay, simply make purchases with the palms of their hands. without ever having to pull out a card or a phone. So all they got to do is use the palm of their hand. So you all see how the precondition of this. The report went on to say that, quote, the company plans to pitch the terminals to coffee shops, fast food restaurants, and other merchants that do lots of repeat business with their customers. Another aspect of this is that people are bypassing hospitals to get these implants, instead are getting implanted through tattoo and piercing shops. Now, I want to show you what we're talking about on here. Let me pull up. I want to, when we talk about digital tattoos here, let's talk about this. Piercing shops, one online company called, quote, Dangerous Things, sells the microchip device and injection kit for $57. Now, this is the implantable version. But also a San Francisco company has now developed tiny implantable digital tattoos. Now, obviously, it probably doesn't look like this, but this is just to kind of give you an example of the these digital tattoos. Now, this would be more of the on the right hand and not in it. But nevertheless, this is a digital tattoo. Now, what I want to say here is interesting, because think about this, guys. That image I just showed you right there, a lot of people probably, now some of you would never get a tattoo, but I'm telling you, a lot of, especially the millennials, they would have no problem putting something like that on their hand because they think it's cool, it's a tattoo, it's whatever, it's an identification. But listen, let's just be real here. There ain't nobody going to be putting nothing, unless some of the crazy folks out there, which is a small fringe group of people that put facial tattoos, they pierce their face or anything like that. But ain't nobody going to be putting nothing like that on their forehead. Come on. And all the ladies said amen right there. No woman's going to be putting a big barcode on their head or some kind of digital tattoo. That's why I say, again, it's safe to go back to the 1611 King James, where it says in the forehead. Because if it goes in and behind the skin, nobody is going to visibly be able to identify you or see you have that mark in your hand or in your head unless it's somehow scanned or identified through some type of digital surveillance tracker infrared device that picks it up. Does that make sense to everybody? NBC, now this was a frightening report. NBC News reported that microchipping of children will happen sooner rather than later, and that Americans will eventually accept the process. You know what? I'm gonna shock you. I agree with them. Let me say that again. I agree that the majority of Americans are going to accept the process of microchipping. Oh, you don't, listen. Society is accepting all kinds of things right now in the name of security, safety, protection, excuse me, public health. We're accepting all kinds of draconian measures that it's unbelievable the freedoms that people are giving up and are willfully accepting. We're accepting drones. Are you kidding me? We're accepting drones in the skies over our cities that can look down and pick up whether or not you've got a fever 195 feet away and can detect whether your temperature is up and whether or not you could be a potential carrier of a virus. And we're accepting this. Well, you know, they're just trying to keep us safe. We're shutting down this, shutting down that. I'm just going to be quiet right here before I get myself in trouble. But my point is, here's my point. I agree with what NBC says. And I've said this from the beginning. I've heard preachers get up and say, I'll tell you, when that mark of the beast comes, they're going to force every living person on the planet to take this mark or they will be beheaded. Is there truth to that? Absolutely. But I'm going to flip it here and I'm going to say that there's going to be a huge group of individuals that you're not going to have to force them to do this. You're not going to have to manipulate them to do this. They will willfully receive and accept the mark of the beast. And don't tell me they won't, because places like Sweden and other places are lining up to willfully, voluntarily sit in a chair and get a microchip put in their hand in the name of safety. It's happening. And it's only going to get, it's going to get pushed and pushed and pushed. Okay. So I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Of all the theories about the mark of the beast, what it could be, what it may look like, this theory is the, of all of the things, the barcode, the Sunday worship, the credit card, the World Wide Web, the tattoos, and all these other goofy theories, and something being implanted, and I'm not saying, I'm not going to be dogmatic and say it's got to be a microchip. I'm not saying that, but something being implanted in the skin, under the skin, is the, that holds more credence and holds more water than anything that I've heard anybody preach and teach. And I've heard a lot of theories out there. I'm just saying, for me, don't get mad at me. I'm just letting you know from my perspective. Now, there is other, and I got to pull this up. I got to bring something else out here. There is end time prophecy teachers, and I could name them, and I'm not. You can go do your own research and discover who these are and who they're not. But there's been some end time preachers that has taught that in Revelation 13, verse 18, that you see here on your screen, it says that it is a human number. It is its number, or his number, is 666 or 666. Some Bible prophecy teachers have tried to say that some old manuscripts from the 8th century called the Codex Vaticanus was written in its translation. They try to say that these three Greek letters in these old, again, this 8th century translation called the Codex Vaticanus, they try to say that this translates to three Greek letters that they try to connect it to Islam. And they've pulled this out and try to say this is the mark of the beast and it's tied to Islam. Now, could it be? I'm not saying that it's absolutely not, but I will say this. When I researched this, the problem with this is the Codex Vaticanus was written in all uppercase Greek letters. Well, if you go by that, this doesn't hold any water. Okay? Because you have to use lowercase in order to get this interpretation. But again, when you go to research this, and not only do you have to make them lowercase, but you have to reverse the letters or the symbols and rotate them. So you have to do a lot of fudging with that to make it interpret what you want. So that's why I have some problems with that. Secondly, the Vaticanus does not include it doesn't even include the book of Revelation in it. Which at that time was still not universally accepted as scripture. However, the Codex Sinaiticus, I believe that's how you pronounce this, and I probably slaughtered that, but this is another surviving 4th century New Testament, does include Revelation, but it does not, it's nowhere like these interpretations. Instead, it uses all caps, and it spells out the words 666. So again, I told you I was going to make, if I didn't make you mad about the Sunday worship, this is going to make some of y'all get mad. See, when you start doing fact checking and you start searching stuff and peeling out layers, some things just don't hold water. A lot of this, what I've discovered, guys, over the years, listen, I love Bible prophecy. I love eschatology. But many times conspiracy theories get manipulated in that. They get thrown in. It's, you know what, listen, conspiracy theories is like leaven. This is the perfect example. A conspiracy theory can be a small theory. It can be really small on some guy's blog or somebody's YouTube page or somebody's Facebook post. It can be a very small leaven of a conspiracy theory, and it gets thrown out there on the web, and then it's like leaven. It becomes thick, it grows, it swells, it enlarges, and before long, it becomes fact, and it becomes hardcore fact when it's truly not. And when you start researching it, you'll discover that some of these theories just don't hold water. All right, so now I want to let's move on here. I'm going to go to something else because we're moving up to the closing of this message here. Let's talk about digital surveillance and contact tracing, because this is the big chatter right now. What am I talking about? I'm talking about tracking down all persons, tracking down civilians. Howbeit, since we're talking about the coronavirus, digital surveillance and contact tracing involves tracking down all people that are infected who come into contact. Let me read this again. Quote, tracking down all the people an infected person came into contact within the days before they even got sick. This is the push right now for this contact tracing. Google and Apple are both working together on an app that uses Bluetooth technology to help track people who come into contact with someone who's infected. We talked about this. We talked about this on one of our last segments, by the way. All this is laying the groundwork for what some fear is a dystopian surveillance system. In fact, India, I thought this was interesting. India came out recently, according to the Associated Press, they are planning to manufacture thousands of wristbands. Now, the band you see here is just an example. It's not, this is not what it looks like, but I'm just throwing it up here for a point of reference. Thousands of wristbands are in the development in India to monitor, listen, quote, to monitor the locations and temperatures of coronavirus patients and help perform contact tracing. The wristband project aims to track quarantine patients and aid health workers and those delivering essential services. According to the report, thousands of wristbands are expected to be deployed, but an exact figure has not yet been released. The wristbands mirror a similar program in Hong Kong. Hello, where do you think the idea came from? Where authorities use bands to monitor overseas travelers ordered to self-isolate. According to the Associated Press, the Prime Minister there in India has urged the country's 1.3 billion people to download a government contact tracing app called Orgaya Setu. I believe that's how you pronounce that. To help determine their infection risk. It has been, listen to this, this app has been downloaded over 50 million times since it was launched on the 2nd of April. Now, what is this app for? Again, contact tracing. He went on to say, quote, the wristbands will be used to monitor the movements of quarantine patients, both at home and at hospitals, and any spikes in their body temperature. So they can, oh my gosh, guys. Listen, so you're monitored 24/7. Your temperature goes up, boom. There was a report that came out of Kentucky where a woman, there was two reports actually. One individual contracted the coronavirus. He refused to stay home, and they put a police officer 24/7 outside of his home to monitor him, to make sure he did not leave his residence. Then there was a woman just recently that three times she got caught going out of her house. They arrested her in a Kroger parking lot because she went to a Kroger. Now, my question is, how did they know? How are they monitoring her? So these things are already at work. Facebook, Google, Twitter, Snapchat, all these surveillance systems, they see you, watch you, everything you do, everything we do, they're watching. They're, just everybody say hi to them because they're watching this broadcast right now. They're watching us 24/7. Why do you think I always, never mind. I'll just leave that alone. So let's go on. Now I'm going to make some people mad here. All right. So the next thing I want to talk about is now comes this. There's been a lot of chatter about Microsoft and this man that you're seeing here on the screen, which we'll call him BG. Again, I don't think I need to go any further than that, but nevertheless, Microsoft, let me give you some facts. I did a lot of research on this, and again, this is going to make some people mad because I know they want me to push this, but I'm going to tell you what I come up with. Ready? Here's what we know. Facts. Microsoft published a patent for a, quote, cryptocurrency system using body activity data. This patent is filed under the number W02020060606A1. The patent is for a, quote, cryptocurrency system that uses, quote, body activity data. Microsoft technology licensing applied for this patent was in June of 2019, and the patent was published a few months later in March of 2020 under the number, again, W02020606606A1. The patent, which has not thus far has not been granted, but the patent is there. Now, but you know what else is not there? There is no mentioning in this anywhere of any microchips. Nowhere in this report, the research I did, again, where did this speculation come from? It's just that, speculation. There's no, you dig on it, you research on it, and I'm not talking about, I've had people send me YouTube videos, that's not going to work. Blogs, that's not going to work. You actually have to dig and dig and dig. All right, quote, the diagrams included in this patent show how the, quote, person, user, device, and sensor are all distinct items. The text of the patent further explains that the user device in the diagram may include wearables. Now, it does include wearables, all right? But no insertion. Nowhere is it mentioned. Let me say that again. The text of the patent explains that the user device in the diagram may include wearables such as smartwatches, cell phones, laptops, or tablets. The patent provides two options for the sensor of this. First, the sensor could be incorporated into one of the in one of these devices, such as the smartphone, the watch, the laptop, or the tablet. The sensor may also be its own standalone component. Again, no mention of implants. All right. So, you can get mad at Brother Ricky, but I would rather lean on what the information I have, then run with conspiracy theories. Let me explain why. And I'm going to expose another one here in just a second. If you ain't left yet, you'll leave in just a minute. When Barack Obama was running, when he was in office, there, I'm telling you, there was YouTube channels, blog channels, there was websites, there, I'm telling you, Facebook pages. There was so many people out there screaming all kinds of conspiracy theories. Number one, that he would be the last president. Well, how'd that work out for you? That didn't happen. Number two, that there would be martial law and there would never be another election. Well, guess what? That didn't happen. Number three, under Obamacare, again, these were all these conspiracy theories. There would be a chip implanted in everybody under the Obamacare. Well, guess what? That did not happen. All these things never held water. They were a flop. They never came to fruition. Why? Because again, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. These were conspiracy theories that people ran with. Well-known prophecy teachers got up behind in their conferences, behind pulpits, on video, and they said that this was facts, and they said that this was going to happen. Well, guess what? They all ate crow because it did not happen. So I'm trying to help somebody today. If you're watching this and you teach Bible prophecy, whatever, and you get up and you start teaching people stuff that just not there, then your credibility is going to be hurt when it don't happen. Okay. All right. Number two, I've seen videos, blogs, websites, Facebook pages telling people that the patent number W02020606061. Oh, but here's what they say. Oh, now this contains 666. This is the mark of the beast. No, you're stretching it because it's 60606. Let he who has wisdom, let him calculate the number of the beast. It is 666. If it was 60606, then we be in trouble. That's not what it says. Again, you're stretching something to try to make it something that it's not. All right. Number two. Oh, now I've heard this again. This is something else that's been perpetrated all across the websites, the internet, and everything. And that's that the WO in this patent stands for world order. Well, guess what? That's false. That's not true. It does not stand for that. You want the truth? The truth of it is the acronym WO here is short for WIPO, or World Intellectual Property Organization, which issued the patent to begin with. The AI at the end of this patent number signifies that this is only a published patent. And again, the BI, or the kind code, is applied to granted patents. So again, I guess I'm going to go against the grain. Everybody else, just because everybody else is running to the right, don't mean I'm going to run to the right. Just because all these other prophecy teachers are saying that the founder of Microsoft is going to issue this, the mark of the beast, and this is it, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that, I'm not going to run with that, because again, when I did my own research, I couldn't find that. Now, I can find it on YouTube conspiracy channels. I can find it on blog channels. I can find it on Facebook pages, or what some guy wrote in his own interpretation. Just like I told you, just like the Seventh-day Adventists. They came up with this, Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. And they preach this as fact, but I told you where that originated from. Again, you can't run with something that doesn't stand on this. So I hate to burst your bubble, guys, but nobody, there's not one, if you hear any prophecy teacher say, this is the mark of the beast, I would question his, I would question him. I would question his credibility. Because there's, for years and years and years, we have tried to interpret this and be dogmatic about this. Now, and we say it's this and it's that, and every time you keep losing, this is no difference, guys, no different than you getting up and setting a date. You get up and you say, well, the Lord's going to come back in 1988, and you write a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Come Back in 1988, and he don't come back in 88. Guess what? You lost your credibility. You come out like Harold Camping and say the world's going to end in 2011. Remember that? He came out, oh, the world's going to end in 2011. Well, guess what? We're still here, and it didn't end. And he lost his credibility. And person after and individual after individual kept coming out, and they kept dating, said it, even though the scripture says no man knows the day nor the hour, not even Jesus, not even the angels, but only the Father in heaven. But yet mere mortal man is going to know the day of his coming. Come on, guys, stick to the Bible. So here's where I want to close with this. Here's what I believe. I can't be dogmatic. I can't say that it's definitively this. Here's what I believe by searching the scriptures, interpreting the scriptures. I believe the mark of the beast, whatever it is, when the day comes, I believe, number one, that it is some. It has to do with a religious affiliation, whatever the religious association or affiliation is of the Antichrist. This image of, or this mark of the beast is going to be directly connected to that. It's going to have some kind of pledging of a religious allegiance. Whatever the religion is of the Antichrist is going to be the same as the false prophet, and the followers of the Antichrist is going to have to take this image, or I'm sorry, this mark, in their hand, their right hand, or in their head, and without, and it's going to have some type of universal, global buying and selling connection with it. We've identified that already. It will not be just a numerical number, but it says the name, the mark, or the number of the beast. And I believe based on that, on those scriptures, I also believe that whatever this thing is, whatever this mark is, and however they do this, I think it's safe to say that it's going to have to be inserted in the hand. Now, is that a microchip? I don't know. But I can say that of all the technology that we have on the table right now, it is the closest thing that we have to that interpretation. I'm not saying it is the microchip, but it is definitely the closest thing we have to interpreting that understanding of what that is that goes in the right hand or in the forehead. Now, we do know this. Let's continue with this. Whoever takes this mark of the beast, according to your Bible, will be damned to hell. They will be lost. If you take the image, if you worship this image, or you take this mark of the beast, you're done. Now, I believe, now this is where, again, you may or may not believe with me, or you may not agree with me, but I believe that this is based on my own personal interpretation. Again, we're going to have different various interpretations on this, but I do believe in the catching away, the gathering together, the rapture, whatever you want to call it, of the church. And I believe that the church is not here when this takes place. When the mark of the beast is issued, when the image of the beast is implemented, or when it's erected in the temple, I don't believe the church will be here. I don't believe the church is here after Revelation chapter 4. So all those individuals that are here that is going to have to be to have to deal with this are the people that are left behind in the tribulation. Again, that's my interpretation. You may or may not agree with that. I base that on, and I don't have time to, I definitely don't have time to elaborate on that, because we'd have to go through 6, 7, 8 different scriptures on that to back that up. But whether you agree or don't agree, or whether you believe we're going to be raptured or we're not raptured, here's the bottom line, guys. If I'm wrong, and we're all going to go through this thing, and we go through the tribulation, the bottom line is, guys, if you take that mark, if you put that thing in your hand or your head, you're done. You're doomed. If you worship the Antichrist and his image, you're doomed. The Bible says you will be damned to hell. You'll be cast into the lake of fire because you have pledged your allegiance to the beast and not to the one true God. That's the scripture, my friends. And that's what we have for you today. Again, I hope that you've enjoyed this. I for some, it may not been what you expected. And some of you may be shocked by what I came and presented today. But I'm all right. And listen, I'll get a lot of hate mail and emails and people that will disagree with me on a lot of points that I've shared today, or say that I'm a fool because I didn't preach this or didn't teach this or I don't agree with that. But that's okay. It won't be the first time. But guys, if you enjoy these messages, you enjoy our ministry, we want to encourage you to follow us at endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. You can see there's our main website right there on your screen. Again, if you're listening by podcast, it's endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on YouTube, Facebook, we encourage you to visit the website, subscribe to us, get push notifications. You'll get a daily digest in your inbox. If you've not yet, you guys on Facebook, you guys on YouTube, if you've not yet went to the Apple Store or the Android store and downloaded our free podcast, please go do that. It's absolutely free. You can get our messages. Maybe you're on the road and you can't watch us, but maybe you're like me. If you're like me, I like going down the road many times and hooking up my Bluetooth on my phone, and I'll listen to podcasts of other ministers or whatever the case may be. So I understand the convenience of this and what a blessing this is to folks. So if you've not yet downloaded our free podcast, please go do that. Again, it's available at Android and available at Apple. Just type in End Time Headlines and you will see that as well. Also, while you're there in the, while you're on your phone, why don't you go to the App Store and download our free official End Time Headlines app. If you've not yet done that, you guys on Facebook, on YouTube, you're going to see the links there. There's no excuse in the description links there on Facebook Live or on YouTube. If you'll simply go up there to the, for YouTube, you'll go to the bottom. On Facebook, you'll go to the top and look at the description. There's a link right there. It says Android app. You click on that link. There's going to be one that says Apple. Click on that link. It's going to lead you to it. And you can download our free End Time Headlines official app. Again, it's free. And you can follow us. You can keep up with our ministry. Everything's right there at your hand. And it's at your convenience to follow us. Again, you guys on a podcast listening to this, if you go to when you're there at the main website, you're going to see places there you can download our free app. And we want to encourage you to do that. You guys that are on Facebook Live watching this, I want to show you this real quick. If you've not yet gone to our, if you want to follow us on YouTube, if you'll type in End Time Headlines, you're going to find us there on YouTube. That's what our page looks like right there coming up there on your screen. I want to encourage you to go over and subscribe to it. You're going to find all these messages. Our whole series we just did here on Revelation 13, all of them is right there on YouTube, as well as our podcasts, our weekly podcasts, our viewpoint segments. We did one on global food shortages coming soon. We talked about Dawn of the Red Dragon. We also do encouraging, exhorting, equipping messages. We did one, as you can see there on your screen a little bit ago, called 8 Lessons from Jesus on Prayer. So if you enjoy all that, guys, go to the YouTube channel, subscribe to it. You're going to find all of our archive. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of messages that we have archived right there in right there on our YouTube channel. So you guys, again, you guys on podcasts, go to YouTube, type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our official ETH logo. You can go there and click on that and find it as well. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity to be a blessing to this ministry. If you've been blessed by this ministry, whether it be, again, through encouraging, equipping, informing messages throughout the week, on a weekly basis, at least probably three times a week, guys, we're live on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on podcasts, we're consistently equipping people with devotional messages, viewpoint segments, teachings, updates. If you enjoy these and you've been blessed by them, we had a an individual that just testified today. She Facebook messaged me today and she said, I want to thank you, Brother Ricky, for being a blessing in my life. She was a drug addict. And she said, our ministry has helped her put down the drugs and begin to follow after Jesus again. Friends, that's what it's about. That is what it's all about right there. That's what our ministry does. That's what it's all about. And if you want to help us, partner with us, help support us, help us keep us doing what we're doing. Again, everything's free. Everything is free. There's several ways you can give right there on your screen. If you've got the app, if you got it on your phone, if you look right all the way to the bottom, to the right, you're going to see a place right there where it says donate or give. You can click on that and you can give electronically. Or you can give by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312. That's Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Again, that's for you guys on YouTube, Facebook Live, and on podcasts. Again, we appreciate your support and your partnership to this ministry. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart is greatly appreciated. We love you guys. God bless you. And again, we are going to be signing off for today. On this Friday, we will be back on here more than likely, Lord willing. We'll be back on Monday, and we will either have a devotional message, we'll do a viewpoint segment, or one of those two, and then we'll announce. We'll probably do another series like this. I don't know what it specifically it'll be on, but we'll pray about that. We'll come up with something. We'll make that announcement. So we got a lot of things that come out throughout the week. So be sure to come back and join us next week. Hopefully, we pray that it'll be on Monday, Lord willing, and we'll kick off the week next week with, again, with a devotional or a viewpoint segment to get you guys going for the week. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're signing off. May the Lord bless you. May keep you. And may his countenance shine upon you until we see you again. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org. where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.